In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Well, in the Gospel today, we have the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry into the world after he had been baptized. If you can imagine God coming into the world to give us a message, not just through the teachings of Jesus, not just through his words, not just through his actions, but through his very life, which we believe is the source of our salvation, his very life. If you could imagine God doing this, what kind of words would come out of the mouth of the Son of God? What would be the first thing he would say as he begins to minister to the world for its salvation? Well, we have it in the Gospel today. Jesus says, "Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here within your grasp. Repent." And it was resisted in those days. It was accepted also, but many resisted it. And today many resist it as well. It's a very difficult, very hard message to accept and to do, this repent. Yet it's crucial for our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, as believers in the biblical God, and as sick people, wounded people, hurt people, seeking salvation in this gospel. It's very hard to do. Repent. It means turn around. It means stop what you're doing, face the right way, and start doing what God wants you to do. It means to sometimes do a complete turnaround in our behavior, in our thoughts, in our desires, and our hopes, and of course in our actions. The fact that so many of us resist the message tells us that we have a lot of work to do. You know, it's really on us now, because as we know from these great feast days we've been celebrating, the Nativity of the Son of God, his baptism in the River Jordan, which we celebrated with a feast last Sunday, God has done everything. God has done everything that he is going to do for us. And he is waiting now for us to respond. It's our time to act and to do. When Jesus Christ is on the cross, in John's Gospel, he says the words, "It is finished." And that doesn't just mean that his life is over. It means that all of God's work of salvation that he is working for us is now complete. Everything is done. And it is time for us to either say yes and respond the way God wants us to, or to keep doing the things that we do in our sinful and corrupt natures. And hopefully, at some point, we would wake up and we'd say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do?" It's hard for us to do because we're, by fallen human nature, stubborn creatures. We get comfortable in a certain place. You know, I'm happy doing what I want to do. Why do I have to change? I don't like to change. I'm fine this way. I don't need anything. That's what we say in our fallenness. But if everything were okay and we didn't need to change, then Jesus Christ didn't need to come. We could have eternal life without him, but God forbid that's not the case. All of us fall victim to this world we've inherited and its influences, its sinfulness, its laziness, its selfishness, building ourselves up at the expense of other people, wanting things that are not of God, that maybe give us temporary satisfaction, always seeking, always thirsting, and always hungry, and yet never fulfilled, eating and drinking the food of this world. Because there's only one thing that's going to satisfy us, and it's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He brings us those streams of life-giving water that if we drink of, we will never thirst again. He gives us the bread of life in his very body. If we partake of this, we will never be hungry again. So this, brothers and sisters in Christ, is all we really need, and yet we continue to search for satisfaction in the world, and it's just not there. Last Sunday, we celebrated, as we said, the great feast of Epiphany. That's the baptism of Jesus Christ in the Jordan. And today, we are still in the feast. You know, in the Orthodox Church, we celebrate 8 full days in the feast. We are now in the 8th day. Tomorrow, on the 14th, we'll have the leave-taking of the feast. But while we are still in the feast, our readings and our hymns and our prayers, many of them are based not just on the resurrection, because it's Sunday, but also on this feast that we are still celebrating, the baptism of Jesus by John in the River Jordan. And we might ask, you know, why is Jesus being baptized? What's it for? The way we understand baptism, and if we read the Gospels, it tells us John was preaching a baptism of repentance, right? He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So people were coming up to John and were confessing their sins, and he was baptizing them into life and getting them right in a relationship with God. But Jesus doesn't have any sins. That's our firm belief, you know. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, but has no sins to repent of, has no need to change. In fact, being God is unchangeable, never changes, but is eternal. So what's the feast for? Why is Jesus being baptized? Well, John even asks the question in the Gospels. He says, you are coming to me, I should be coming to you, and you should baptize me. But Jesus answers him, let it be so now, so that we may fulfill all righteousness. Let it be for now, so that we might fulfill all righteousness. Jesus Christ came, and he was not just a man, because if he were just a man, he would have needed that same baptism that all the Jews and all the people living in the area needed from John. But Jesus Christ, being perfect God in the form of man, came to show us the right way. He came to do for us what we need to do if we want to say we truly belong to him and have a life in God and live eternally in the kingdom of heaven. God just doesn't tell us, he shows us. He's a very good teacher. He studied, well, I shouldn't say that, he's has great methods of teaching, you know. You say you just don't tell someone how to do something, you show them. Well, God actually comes down and shows us in his very life, in the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus undergoes baptism to set the pattern for our life. That's the fulfillment of all righteousness. Somebody who doesn't need remission of sins, now coming and showing us how we are to partake in his perfect life. So for us, it's about our baptism. That's where we begin the walk. That's where we begin the life of communion with God in Jesus Christ. And as we've said many, many times before, and we'll continue to say, it's a beginning. Baptism for us is the initiation of a whole life. It doesn't cap anything off. It doesn't close anything. The only thing it closes is our old life to sin and death. But our real life begins at our baptism. As we heard in the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians today, Paul makes reference to this coming of the Holy Spirit, which happens at Pentecost and which happens for us at our baptism. He says, he who descended is he also who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. This is God. This is God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And when we're baptized, we believe we identify with Jesus Christ in his death. If you've been to a baptism recently, or if you pick up that red book and you read it, don't do that. Sit up. You'll read the words of the baptism service, and it tells us, you know, here's a baby sometimes. We see babies being baptized. Someone who's not even 6 months old, sometimes they're 40 days old. And we're praying that this child would be a partaker in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're wishing for that, that this person would die, that his old man would die on the cross with Jesus and be buried 3 days in the tomb And we pray this so that he and that all of us might be raised up in the newness of life with Jesus Christ in his resurrection. Because we can't partake of that unto life unless we've died the death with him. That's what's really important for us, dying the death to this world, to sin, and even to death with Jesus Christ. You know, the three submersions in the water that you see at a baptism, it's highly symbolic. It symbolizes our participation in Jesus' death, because he was 3 days in the tomb. We go down three times in the water, and then we come up into newness of life. And then we're chrismated with the seal of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul talks about here. He talks about some of those gifts. Some people are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and this is all for the building up of the saints, the equipment of the saints, for building up the body of Christ until that day when we are all one, united to him in the kingdom when it comes in its fullness. But until that time, we're here, we're in the church, we've had this great feast day, and if you pay attention, it's not for nothing that we get the feast day of Epiphany and then the Sunday immediately following this beginning of Jesus' ministry. That's not just coincidental. That's on purpose. Baptism and then ministry. That's the order. We are baptized in the church. We receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then we're equipped to go out into the world and to minister unto it. The world is in pain. The world is suffering. The world is under the influence of the devil. And we are called to change that. How do we do it? How do we do it? How many preachers do we have in here? We have maybe one, two, maybe there's others out there. How many evangelists? How many people go out and proclaim the gospel? Now, we may not do that by standing on a street corner reading a book. That might not be the most effective way to do it. But we teach other people in our behavior, our actions, our words, the way we treat them without words. We teach them who we are and what we're about. You know, if we pray for other people, if we pray for people that don't know Jesus Christ and that aren't in communion with his body, the church, that's another way of ministering unto them. That's a ministry that gets overlooked all the time, prayer. You know, sometimes we think in the monasteries, what do they do all day? You know, they pray for us. There are people who do that full time. We forget to pray. We get lazy. We go to sleep without saying our prayers. We get up in the morning and start our day having not prayed very often. We may try, but we fail a lot, right? There are people who remember for us. That's a ministry. That's a ministry that's for our building up. It's for the building up of the body of Christ, and it's for our salvation that we should be thankful for. We have many, many ways of ministering unto the world and being a witness. We talk to people. If you invite them to church, did you ever ask someone at work to come to church with you? You might be doing them a big favor. They might get offended. Who knows? You know, you're only interested in their salvation, and if you do it in a loving way, in a way that God has given you to do, nobody can fault you, right? Nobody can fault you. We should always be looking for the good of other people. That's our duty as Christians. That's our calling. And that's the way we will build up the body of Christ to the glory of God and according to his will. So we are here today on the Sunday following Epiphany. We've been baptized. Remember, it doesn't matter if we were baptized or when we were baptized. It matters that we were baptized, and we are still baptized today. It's something we have to live out every day. We fall, but that's why we have confession, because confession in the church is our way of repenting. It's our way of saying, God, I know I didn't do it right. You know, I forgot. I got lazy. I did what I wanted to do, but realizing that that's not going to bring us eternal life, and saying, I'm sorry. And trying harder again. That's what confession is, you know. And if we ever think that it's not important, just remember the first words out of the mouth of our Lord when he began his ministry is repent. It's the words calling us to a life of repentance, a life of confession, and a life of humility. The first words out of the mouth of the Baptist, John, who was sent to prepare people for Jesus, you know, set the stage. What does he say? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Salvation is here. God is here in person to show you the way and to do all those great things that are going to bring life to the world. So now, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's our turn to respond. May we do that. May we not let our pride and our sin and our egos get in the way of a relationship with God that is fruitful and that brings eternal life. And may we always call upon him to have mercy upon us and forgive us when we fail. Let this be our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.